Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Representative Matt Gaetz is your U.S. Congress representative from the Northwest Florida District 1. He joins us by phone now. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Hey, great to have you. I feel like, you know, even when we go 2 weeks, it just seems like all kinds of stuff takes place. One of the things that I definitely wanted to ask you about, I think CPAC was since the last time we talked. That's how it feels like a thousand years ago. But what was your reflections after CPAC in terms of the state of the Republican Party and where we are going forward, especially, of course, with President Trump now not in office?
We are at a decision point in the Republican Party. There's no doubt. You know, a lot of Republicans are trying to play up the concept of unity, but you have to answer the question what you're unifying around. Is it the America First brand of conservatism that President Trump championed, that I fought for, where we try to limit our involvement in foreign wars, have trade deals that put our people first, and an immigration policy that doesn't prioritize wages for big corporations? Or are we going to return to the neoconservative view of the world, to a kind of, you know, Reagan-flavored, you know, Bush-flavered, Romney-flavored amnesty concept on immigration? And I hope that it's the president, the 45th president's vision that prevails. Now, one thing I picked up at CPAC is that this is still absolutely a party committed to Donald Trump. They adore him. He remains the most popular, powerful, influential Republican. But that doesn't mean that within the 8 square miles of Washington, D.C., the establishment isn't trying to reconstitute their power.
What do you think is going to happen in 4 years? Is Governor DeSantis going to run for election? If he does, can he win the governorship knowing that's coming? Is President Trump going to run, or is he just going to be an influencer, or is it all still to be decided?
4 years from now, politics could be put in a blender and moved around all over again. I know that over the next 2 years, it is critically important that Florida protect itself from what I think is going to be a lot of bad policy coming out of Washington, D.C. And just take H.R. 1. This is the election bill that Democrats have drafted, and it takes a lot of the degradation in the authentication process of the vote, and it institutionalizes it and federalizes it. And so we have to do things in Florida to make sure we protect our voter ID laws. You know, we've done a lot to clean up our election, so we don't want to take a step back. You know, we don't want to go back to the hanging chads and the hundreds of thousands of ballots swirling around that aren't necessarily connected to the identity of a human. So I think that on that, it'll be important on economic policy. You know, in Florida, we are seeing so many new people come to our state because they can no longer deduct their state and local taxes, you know, back in Minnesota or in Connecticut or in New York. And so Florida is a very attractive option. And I think that continuing to build those policies in our state may be more important than ever.
When I see how Florida ran our elections, as clean as it could possibly be, and we knew that night exactly what everything was, and then I think about what should be done in terms of federal election reform, my theory is, hey, it should all be like Florida. And then when I read something like H.R. 1, I'm like, are you even speaking the same language? You're trying to make everybody do Pennsylvania and Georgia. Am I missing something here?
You're not, but it does create some tension with people who both want to run clean elections and who ascribe to federalism, right? Because there are days where I'm like, gosh darn it, you know, in Florida, we count the votes as they're coming in. So It's a few thousand a day. It's not, you know, millions all at once and you're just flying through them. And you know, I want to see everyone do their elections that way. And then I think, well, you know, gosh, do I want them imposing their system on us? So right. You have to balance federalism against the importance of the integrity of the vote.
I know one of the things that you've raised a lot of concern about is the military presence at the Capitol ongoing. There's now a request to have the National Guard extension. In fact, John Kirby spent some time in the press conference last week explaining how this is not a posse comitatus violation because it's Guard, not regular Army. But still, the look of a militarized Capitol, is this smart? Is this crazy? What's your take?
Oh, it's awful, and it is not ending anytime soon. Russell Honoré, the general that Nancy Pelosi put in charge of the security review, has advocated for permanency to part of the resiliency plan. So this isn't something that one day is just going to go back to normal if they have their way. So you have to ask, why are they doing this? And I think it's something more significant than just seeking to punish Republicans for January 6th. I actually think that the splendor and beauty and invitation of our Capitol said something about America, about our wonder, about our ambition. And I think that the left right now want to really reshape the country. And so to do that, they first have to diminish the country. And when you see Marxist riots in the streets, that's one element. And when you see a nation wrapped in, you know, it's a nation's capital wrapped in barbed wire, it also sends that message. So I don't want to be a country that's locked down, its capital is occupied, and whose people are just increasingly dependent on the size of the next government check. I think we need to open the economy, open the capital, and get back to being America, because guess what? That's what everyone else in the world wants to be. So I don't know why the left is in such a, you know, such a tizzy to try to change what's been successful for our people.
You know, tomorrow, I guess you guys are going to take up again in the House the Senate's version of the they keep calling it the COVID relief bill, but I just keep calling it the 10th of the economy bill. I mean, it's just this.
Right.
Is there, I mean, it's such a thin margin and it's not as liberal as the bill that was sent over to the Senate. Is there any chance that Democrats might pull away and we might actually have this thing stymied, or is this just going to happen?
This is going to happen. And it's only the beginning is the sad part. They are going to print money in Washington, D.C. now that they have full control of the government like we have never seen in our lives. And I worry about what that means for people who have saved money, who, you know, aren't out there, you know, trading on the margins and benefiting off of the swirling cash, but people who just kind of follow the rules in life and want to have a nice nest egg. I think this could be a really dangerous time for inflation. And the willingness to use coronavirus to do all these other things is just shameless, and it's just beginning. They are going to use the coronavirus as the Trojan horse for socialism.
We're talking to Matt Gaetz. Matt, I've got kind of an odd question that your comments make me think of, but I want to get your perspective on it. I've talked many times about here in Florida, we are living one kind of life under COVID with DeSantis's good rules and freedom. And in other states, they are living lockdown life and they don't know. My worry is they literally don't know there are free states in the nation. Similar, people, I think, don't know that there were riots in the streets many places in the country last summer because they didn't see it on TV, whereas they did see over and over again the Capitol riot. Here's my concern. Do people in other places know enough about what's going on across the country accurately to say no to some of this stuff that's being done in Washington and to hold people accountable for making bad decisions?
In a world in which technology platforms allowed for the free flow of information, I think that you would break through a lot of those walls. But increasingly, tech is trying to shape the very nature of truth. And so when people talk about Florida in a favorable way, you wonder if that gets fair reach. When people talk about, you know, coronavirus in realistic terms, not in hyperbolic terms, I think that that also gets shadow banned in some recesses of the internet. And so I think that there's work to do there, but every day I hear from people who say, you know, what's it like to live a normal life in Florida? What's it like to be able to go to a restaurant or be able to gather at a worship service? And I think that our people are our best ambassadors. I think that as we continue to share that really our plan in Florida is one that has brought happiness and joy to our people, in very challenging times to the greatest extent we can. I think that really is the best thing we can do to ensure that we protect these policies that have been helpful to us.
Absolutely. I'm concerned that they don't even realize, just like we don't even realize, you know, we don't even know how bad it is for them because, hey, we're going to restaurants and eating out and doing our thing, you know. So Matt Gaetz, he is our
well, also nobody was burning down downtown Pensacola. I mean,
right.
You know, when we had people protesting, it was like, you know, peaceful, kind, thoughtful, respectful. I was so proud of our community. And, you know, that kind of Southern hospitality and our way of life is not something we should take for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so. Matt Gaetz, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1 representative. Thank you so much for the time this morning. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.